WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Many people who came of age in the years before rock and roll are more likely to know John Raitt than his daughter Bonnie. 50 years ago, John Raitt launched his Broadway career, originating the role of Billy Bigelow in Carousel. Some people consider him his era's quintessential musical leading man. He starred in the original production of Pajama Game, starred with Mary Martin in a TV production of Annie Get Your Gun. He toured the country in such musicals as Oklahoma, The Most Happy Fella, South Pacific, and Kismet. A recent CD called The Best of John Raitt collects some of his early recordings. He also recently made his first new recording in 25 years. His daughter Bonnie Raitt joined him on several tracks. Here they are singing a song from Annie Get Your Gun.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that?
Yes.
So can a rat. Anything you can buy.
John Raitt, welcome to Fresh Air.
It's a pleasure to be on this lovely show.
Oh, thank you. Tell me how you and your daughter Bonnie Raitt decided to make this album together.
Well, it came by a long period. It took me about 2 years to convince Bonnie that it was her idea for us to do the Boston Pops. She says, "Dad, I can't sing with a 85-piece orchestra. I just used to sing with my 6-piece band that I have." And then it sort of worked on. We finally convinced her to do the Boston Pops. And then she brought me last year to Radio City Music Hall as a guest on the show that she was doing, and then I think what happened with this album was that she had finished up her European tour in Dublin, and on her way home, she sat next to Steve Murphy, who was the president of Angel Records, a subsidiary of both Capitol Records, which Bonnie signed for, and EMI, of course, and I think that's where it started, because she says, "Dad and I have been doing some duets together, and I started to feel a little confidence in singing Broadway show songs, which is Dad's forte. And maybe we should do an album. And you should certainly record him because he's still singing pretty well." And so this is the first album I made in 25 years.
Wow. Now, since she's performed your material with you and you've sang a little bit of her material with her, what kind of advice have you given each other on how to do each other's songs?
Well, I basically said we are storytellers. And it's the best way you tell a story is whatever, if you need to speak the lines or sing the lines. And she didn't realize, I don't think, that she had such a good, legitimate soprano voice. And I knew it all the time. And she has blossomed so that it's just a tremendous gratification to me to be able to sing with her just as a singer. I mean, she sounds a lot like Mary Martin, as you can tell even in the song that we just played. And it's just been a great joy for me to be able. I'm not conscious in some ways when we get going that the father and daughter bit. I just is another great performer that I'm singing with.
Now, has she given you any advice about how to sound when you're performing with her on her songs?
Yeah, she told me a little bit on some of the things because it's a different style of singing, but it's good.
So what'd she tell you?
Well, just have to loosen up a little bit, have a little more feeling for the song.
So do you use a different voice when you sing with her on her
songs? No, I only sing with one voice, and that's what I've got. I don't think you have to make that change. The style a little bit, possibly, is a little looser, but even that doesn't change because, they're all songs. And as you interpret it in your own way, you don't try to copy anybody.
Now, John Raitt, you sang opera before going to Broadway.
Well, sort
yes?
of. I was luckily in California. We had a group called American Music Theater, and we were doing operas in English. And that gave me great training to do the Broadway shows, especially Carousel, which is now our 50th year anniversary of it. And I think Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote the soliloquy because they had heard me sing the Figaro aria for the Barber of Seville. And they knew that I had this operatic upper register especially, and it's certainly evident in the soliloquy. I call it a one-act opera anyway when I sing it.
Now, where did they hear you sing?
I came to audition. So being very cocky in those days, I thought I would dazzle them at the audition by singing the Figaro aria for the Barber of Seville, and that did it. That prompted the writing of this wonderful legacy that Rodgers and Hammerstein left for me in Carousel.
Now, if I'm familiar with John Raitt lore, I think the way the story goes is that you were actually auditioning for Oklahoma.
I was. I was brought on to take over the lead of Alfred Drake, and they decided I might be a good bet for their new musical adaptation of Frank Molnar's Lilium, and shipped me off to Chicago, where I got my feet wet, so to speak, and played for about 10 months in that show before they brought me right in to do Carousel.
So you were doing the Road Company of Oklahoma mm-hmm. while Rodgers and Hammerstein were
right.
writing Carousel, and they wrote the soliloquy for you, also known as My Boy Bill. Why don't we hear it?
My boy Bill, I will see that he's named after me. I will. My boy Bill, he'll be tall and as tough as a tree. Will Bill, like a tree, he'll grow with his head held high and his feet planted firm on the ground. And you won't see nobody dare to try to boss him or toss him around. No pot-bellied, baggy-eyed bully'll boss him around.
John Raitt from the original cast recording of Carousel. I believe you were singing the role of Billy Bigelow, you know, on the road or in summer stock, even into your 60s. Did it ever get to feel like, well, I'm really too old for this part?
Well, I think I felt, because I've had some arthritic problems, and I was having trouble with my left hip. And when I see the tape, we did amateur tape, of course, I was a little bit set back by the fact that I wasn't as agile and as young-looking as I had hoped to feel that I am. You know, we feel inside that we're just the same, but then you look yourself in the mirror and you say, hey, buddy, you're getting along there, you know.
Now, in the film versions of Carousel in Oklahoma, the parts that you had played went to Gordon McRae. Did you resent him?
No, I helped Gordon get the part, as a matter of fact, because I was doing Pajama Game, and back in those days, you know, they want a John Raitt type and not John Raitt, and since Gordon had done Oklahoma with Shirley Jones, they thought it would be great to have the team do Carousel as well.
Now, you did the Broadway and film versions of Pajama Game.
Yeah, I was very fortunate because my big competitor all through the years, Howard Keel, had done Calamity Jane with Doris Day and very much in contention to do it. But George Abbott wanted as many of the original people as he could. And when Jack Warner was able to get a star of the magnitude of Doris Day, then he said, you can have all the rest of your people, you know.
Now, why don't I play Hey There, which I think is the loveliest song from Pajama Game.
Okay. Which one you want to play?
Which one would you like to hear? We have the original and we have the one that you recorded as duet.
I want you to do with Bonnie. I think kind of fun to have the people hear
okay.
what daughter can do with one of Dad's songs.
Okay, so here we go. This is John Raitt and Bonnie Raitt singing Hey There from Pajama Game.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you.
In the
she
air.
Has you dancing on a string.
A puppet on a string.
Break it
not seeing things too clear?
Are you too much in love to hear?
Is it all going in one ear? And out the other?
What's the longest run you did on Broadway?
Pajama Game, 1,060 performances.
How many years is that?
That's 2.5 years. And I missed about one performance. I would hope to say I could do, I'd done them all, but I didn't. I had one week on a Wednesday. I had such a bad cold that the doctor told me if I did both the shows that day, I'd be out the rest of the week. But if I didn't do the matinee, he could probably get me through the week.
My guest is John Raitt. We'll talk more in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Back with singer John Raitt. A recent CD called The Best of John Raitt collects some of his early recordings. He also recently made his first new recording in 25 years called Broadway Legend, which includes duets with his daughter, Bonnie Raitt. Do you do exercises to keep your voice in shape?
No, because I'm a natural singer. I just have to go from right when I'm talking to you now to, oh, what a beautiful morning. It's right there, you know, so it's no problem.
So your singing range is the same as your speaking range, and you could go right into
it. Right, because I'm a high lyric baritone, which is the most flexible of all the voices for Broadway musicals. I have a long range. I have a big upper register, which helped me a lot with these big long songs. Like in the soliloquy, for instance, you start off down below and you finish up in an operatic aria, finish to speak, and not only do you have to have the stamina, but you have to have your knowledge about you, what you can do.
Have you lost any of your range?
A little bit, I think, on the top. I used to have it amazing. I could sing high C's, and baritones are not supposed to sing high C's, you know. But I think I possibly still could some, but I've noticed it a little bit up on the top.
Now, I think it was about, would you say, 14 years ago that you married the woman who had actually been your childhood sweetheart?
Yeah, Rosemary Kramer was her name, and she was Scotch. No, I was Scotch. She was a Spanish land-grant Catholic in the area in Orange County. In fact, her family goes back to 1769. She's eighth generation Californian and only child. And she had one of those mothers that had bigger aspirations for her son-in-law than a guy at that time was going to be an athletic instructor or a coach. So they separated. I was Scotch Presbyterian, so they separated on the religious grounds. And today, you, of course, wouldn't listen to it. We just take off.
So they refused to let you get married?
Yeah. 41 years later, we finally, after her second marriage, after my second marriage, fortunately, we were both free and available, and it was a marvelous experience, and we've been having a great time making up for it for 14 years.
Had you kept in touch over the years?
No. The only time I saw her, I came back as a local boy makes good after Carousel to do a concert in Fullerton, California, in Orange County. And in the reception line was Rosemary and her mother. And her mother was one of these beautiful ladies that with the long eyelashes and the blue eyeshadow. She took me aside at the reception and said, "We made a mistake. You were always our favorite."
You know? Oh, yeah, sure. Too late for that.
That's right.
So
the only time I saw her in the 41 years.
You weren't going to be good enough. You weren't going to be good enough professionally. If you don't mind my asking, what did your wife's first husband do professionally?
He was an attorney. Her mother picked out her husband for her.
Uh-huh.
She was in such a state of shock, we find, you know, because we had a really serious love affair. She would always come see me sing. What I did 8 shows for the Civic Light Opera out in Los Angeles, and she probably saw them all, but she said it was such a traumatic experience for him, she doesn't remember it too well.
So she would come and see you sing, but not tell you she was in the audience?
No. I called up when I got a telephone number, and this lovely voice answers, and I said, "This is your first love. This is 41 years later, right?" And she says, "Who is this?" Thinking I'm a nut, of course. And I told her, and she says, "Well, you're right. You were my first love." And then went over to pick her up because I invited her immediately for dinner. I was always strong with Rosemary, and not two with the other two wives. And She stuck her head out the door and says, "What do you see to me?" And I said the best ad-lib line I ever gave on or off stage by saying, "I see the same eyes I saw 41 years ago," which is pretty romantic, I guess.
So did you ever ask yourself if you think the marriage would have stayed
well,
together?
Well, yeah, we talked about a lot. And Bonnie's awful happy that we didn't get married, of course.
That's right. She wouldn't have been born. I guess things work out for the best.
I know. They work out, you know. We're still friendly with my two wives. My second wife is Kathy, still has the name, and she's the executive secretary for Jimmy Niederlander, the Niederlander Theaters. So whenever I need Broadway tickets, I call up Kathy and she gets tickets.
That sounds handy.
Yeah, why not?
Singer John Raitt. A recent CD called The Best of John Raitt collects some of his early recordings. His latest CD, Broadway Legend, includes duets with his daughter, Bonnie Raitt.